Well, welcome to BBF Ohio, where you may be normal when you come here, but you won't be when you listen. We really love the Word of God here. And because it's Easter Sunday, we can say, shame on the devil. Shame on the devil and...
And what?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
But there'll be a lot coming at you. And it's going to be fun. So, Doug, welcome back. Good to have you back. And so if you don't mind opening yourself with a word of prayer and ask God's choice blessings on his book, we'd appreciate it.
Just thank you for this, this day. Just thank you for from the grace. And if it wasn't for that, Lord, then us meeting together would be in vain.
Amen.
Just thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. We just thank you for all the people who showed up. And thank you for John and Pastor Greg and putting things together for us so we can... get your home and stay. Thank you for it all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, this is going to sound like a whole lot to start with. But that's the way it goes. again, I share with you on how I do Bible studies. And if you can use it in your Bible study, great. But how we study the Word of God, this book, because as we're in the book, the Holy Spirit, as he promised, will listen to all truth. And so, as I was studying, I recognized two chapters break down and actually give us the Easter story. And I never would have guessed it myself, but that's how it worked out. Between Isaiah chapter 51 and Isaiah chapter 52, there are eight times that God is calling the children of Israel. And we need to be reminded, they're in Babylon. Babylon's over here. Jerusalem's over here. In order for them to go from Babylon over to Jerusalem, they're going to have to cross the Jordan River. And the Jordan River has a whole lot to do with Scripture when you do a Bible study. In my early days, I really didn't know anything. And when you study the cross that Christ died on, he said he humbled himself to the cross. In order for us to get into Canaan, which is a picture of the fruitful spiritual life, you have to be humble. And so that pastor got indignant and said, yes, but they have to cross the Jordan River. I wasn't looking for that, okay? I don't know why that was a point at all. So, he goes ahead and stops the class as we're studying the Word of God and flips around to find out what does the word Jordan mean? The guy's braced himself. The word Jordan means to go down. And what does the word humble mean? To go down, going down on your knees. Okay? So, keep in mind here, there's a tremendous study. And also, when you study Scripture, realize there were 12 tribes. Realize only 9.5 went into Canaan. 2.5, or we would call it 3, stayed on the other side. And so, if you would have a greater study, Reuben was one of the ones that stayed on the other side. And so when you study Genesis 49, yes.
Just during the daily Bible reading, we just covered this recently, where Reuben was.
Yeah, what did Reuben do? He went up to his dad's couch. The reason you don't go to the promised land. All right? Now if you want to have some more fun, those are the three reasons, when you find out what Gad's worth, you find out those are the three reasons they were kicked out of the promised land. And why they were in Babylon. So, when you're studying the Old Testament like that, you're also studying your own spiritual life. And you can make the connections, and you can have a little bit of fun there. You can have a little discerning. And then when you're ministering to people, you can now discern three reasons why they may not want to get saved, or one of the three reasons they, you know, you can discern where they're at. And then you can study scripture on how to get Reuben over to the promised land, how to get Gad over, and how to get Manasseh from being double-minded and get him over on the other side. See, Bible study then becomes fun. And so as we're studying, there's eight callings of God in Isaiah 51 and 52. And so I'd like to share with you briefly, because all eight callings, as I studied about, all of the eight callings are all connected to Calvary. It's all connected to the cross. We take a look at verse 1 here. Hearken to me. The word hearken means to listen. God is calling the children of Israel. It's a call. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock which ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit which ye are digged. All right? What is this the call for, guys? He's calling to people who are already seeking him. And with your presence here today, I would basically say you are all seeking the Lord. And here's the call. He's telling them to have an inspection of their spiritual life before him. Have an inspection. He says, remember the rock from which you're hewn out of. And when we get to the notes on that, it becomes more fun again. The Word of God just starts becoming fun. So, the first call, the first verses 1 to 3, deals with the call of personal inspection. Checking out your own spiritual life. Now, when we bring that into the New Testament and connect it with the cross, we call that the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a time when you have an inspection of your life as, are you really following the Lord? Are you really repenting of sin? Are you really trying to reach your neighbors for the Lord? That's what the Lord's Supper is about. Do this in remembrance of me. What? The blood and the body shed on the cross. So there's our Easter connection with verses 1 to 3. On verses 4 to 6, it's the call of judgment. Hearken unto me, ye people, and give ear, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. Judgment. What did Christ do for us on the cross? He judged our sins. There's our other connection. Now, unfortunately, at the end of the book of Revelation, there's going to be another judgment. For all those who have rejected the cross, there's the other judgment. And it's just fascinating on how that all fits together. And I found out at the end of the book of Revelation, it's called the Day of God. The Day of God, and that's Armageddon. That's the Day of God when he brings judgment to them. And you have to go into the book of Thessalonians in chapter 1 and 2. And what happens? The group of people that's around the time of Armageddon are the ones who have heard the gospel, rejected the gospel, and so God says, I'm going to give you a delusion. Yep. And that's the delusion that they have. Sad, sad times. Verses 7 and 8 is the calling of God's protection. Quick glance here at verse 7. Again, hearken unto me. That's hearing. That's a call. Ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is by law, fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be afraid of the revilings. How about that? Protection. We have the protection of God's righteousness. And where does that protection of God's righteousness come from? The moment that you and I trusted the Lord at the cross, his righteousness was imputed to us. And that righteousness is with us for all eternity. Again, a neat connection to the cross. Verses 9 to 16, the calling of God's arm. And I'll just briefly tell you this. In Hebrews 1:3, when Christ died on the cross, he ends up going up to heaven, and where does he sit down? At the right hand of God. And what's connected to the right arm? The arm. Now, fascinating here, it doesn't tell us whether it's the right arm or left arm. Fascinating. All right? When it comes to us, it's the right arm. We're saved. When it comes to the unsaved, that's the left arm.
Amen.
Fascinating. Verses 17 to 23, that completes chapter 51. God's call to revive Jerusalem. He has a call to revive Jerusalem. And in there, you'll see the word cup of trembling. He told the Jews, you guys have been drinking the cup of trembling for 70 years. He says, now it's time for me to give the cup of trembling to them who are your captives. And you guys will have the cup of trembling. You guys aren't going to drink it anymore. When we go to the Easter story, what is Christ praying the night before he dies on the cross? This cup. And he's got to drink it, or you and I don't get saved. Fascinating. But then, when we go to the book of Revelation, there's that cup of, again. And he's making those that oppose him to drink that cup. The cup of his wrath. You see the connection right there? We're just having just a little bit of fun just connecting all the dots of scripture here. It just gets fun. When we go into chapter 52 here, there are three callings there. Verses 1 to 6, God's calling to redeem Jerusalem. You look for the word redeem. He says, I'm not going to redeem you with money. Guys, connection again with the Easter story. How are we redeemed? With the precious blood of Christ. Ephesians 1:7, Colossians 1:14, going to Matthew 26, all the way through, you see the blood of Christ. We are redeemed by the blood of Christ.
Just for the record, you're talking about the resurrection of Christ.
Correct.
When you say Easter story.
Correct.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
That's one thing, you know, we'll talk about a little bit during current events, but, you know, we don't go around trying to straighten everybody out. You're not going to change everybody.
No.
You know, but...
I just have to look in the mirror.
I just have encouraged everybody to respond when people say, Happy Easter. Say, He is risen.
Amen. Amen.
Because, as we'll talk about in
current
events, but just so people understand what you're talking about, because there are a lot, we have listeners and viewers who understand that Easter is not a biblical term for the resurrection.
Oh, exactly. Right. So oh, absolutely.
You just got to make that clear.
Yeah.
And so then I understand. The 25th.
When I was learning to be a chalk artist, the chalk artist at one point decided that Jesus didn't have long hair, so he started drawing him, you know, short hair. And that totally confused his audience. Totally confused it. So even though he didn't believe that Christ had the long hair, he put it back on so the audience wouldn't get too lost in the message that he was given. And that's the only thing saying Easter. But
yeah.
That's right. It is the resurrection. Yeah. And when we get to Isaiah 52, verses 7 to 10, God's calling his people to service. So when you look in there, it talks about the beautiful feet taking the good news. What's the good news? He's risen.
Amen.
He is risen indeed. And we find that same verse again in Romans 10:14. And also in Matthew 28, it's given in the Great Commission.
Yep.
We're to take the good news of the resurrection of Christ and share it with everyone that we can. And then to finish off chapter 52 with the calling, verses 11 to 15, it's God calling his people to repentance. He says, come out of her. Come out of her. He doesn't want them to be in Babylon. And you can find the same type of verse, I believe, in the book of Revelation when it comes to Rome, as far as to Babylon. Come out of her, my people. Come out. That's repentance. Don't stay there. Repent, yes.
John, it seems like most of the world's getting sucked into Babylon like it's a black hole right now. People, even at the so-called Protestant churches that are advertising that Lent is the way to eternal life. It seems like most of Christendom has been deceived by Rome.
Yeah.
That's why there's the difference between repentance and repentance.
Well, one of the neat things the Lord keeps sharing with me is in the Great Commission, the one verse, almost all the fundamentalists that I've been under, they always quote 19 and 20. But they always leave off verse 18.
Where's that?
All power, Jesus said, all power is given unto me.
Amen.
Go ye therefore. And regardless of whatever else the word says, that the world has to say, we have the word. We have the resurrection of Christ. And the Holy Spirit is going to, he's still going to come on this book and do something great. Whether the person accepts or rejects. Part of our job is trying to get the word of God into their heart. Once it's in their heart, it's up to the Holy Spirit from there to illuminate it. And so that's why I pass out the little booklets with all the little scriptures involved in it. That's why I pick out from the Lord, I pick out different themes that I think people might be interested in. And we got an interesting one coming. It might be finished today, I don't know. But I'm looking forward to passing it out. You crack up on the cover is a flying saucer. And it says, after the alien abduction, you will take the mark of the beast. And so I give you the history, starting with about almost 1947, and I give you the actual people involved in it. And I just take you all the way up to this time frame, and then we take you up to the rapture. Then we have all those bodies floating around.
People involved in what?
Trying to promote the UFO.
Oh.
The latest, I saw an article the other day, and there's some CIA guy, former CIA, called Ramirez, who's trying to say in 2027 there's going to be a great announcement on the UFO alien thing. All right? So it's just fascinating. I've heard different things like that down through the years when Kissinger was with Bush and Dukakis in the Bilderberger meeting in 1989. They were discussing how to use the rapture to set up a one world government.
Oh, yeah.
Way back then. And somehow they were trying to use it dealing with Cuba. CIA again was trying to use that for Cuba, but I didn't get the gist of that. So it's not like these guys don't know.
Oh yeah.
They know. And
Robert Mueller was not the one more recently, but there's one that another Robert Mueller, who was one of the big cheese in the United States government. He was part of what we call deep state now. He wasn't elected, but he was appointed. He was also part of the UN, big part of that back in the 80s and early 90s. And Dark Secrets of the New Age by Tex Mars, he quotes Mueller and all these other, because he was New Age,
Yeah.
He was into the New Age movement. And he quoted these guys all saying that there was going to come a disappearance of those who were resisting the New Age. And they would all disappear. Of course, then they said we were going to be taken away to be re-educated, basically.
Yeah.
And then we would come back. And I was reading it, I'm thinking,
fascinating.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Exactly.
The explanation's wrong, but the events are correct. We're going to be taken away.
Yeah.
I guess you could call that re-education. And then we're going to come back.
Yeah.
It is right there in the Dark Secrets of the New Age by Tex Mars back in the mid-90s. He was documenting all that.
Yeah, Brian.
We're also sure there is going to be a one world government when Jesus Christ is on the throne in Jerusalem and the government shall be upon his shoulders.
Yeah.
They just don't understand what it is.
Yeah. Well, also another article, which this is pretty old now, but in England, the psychics on TV were saying how Christians are going to be abducted and taken up. Good. So the world's already preparing for it to happen. Now, I will just give you a few of my thoughts on there. I think they're going to try to come up with a way to remove people, because they already have the concentration camps set up everywhere. All right, and they already have the executive orders in the Oval Office of Kennedy. But I think the Lord's going to be one step ahead of them. He's not going to let them take his glory. But it's really close. They could manufacture it if they wanted to. And that's how close, guys. We should always be in prayer before the Lord and pray for escaping some of the silly nonsense coming up. Yes?
Are you calling concentration camps cities?
Huh?
Are you calling concentration camps cities?
Well, they call them intern camps. Okay. Canada's been building them since the 1980s, early 80s. I got that article from Czech Publications. It's more likely he got that from that other guy, Rivera.
I could see the connection between that and the 15 minutes.
These guys, these are all fascinating times. But the whole purpose of the track is to let people know this is what's going to be happening. And you won't, if you take the mark, here's what's going to happen to you. You're getting one more opportunity to get saved. And the Lord just pressed this upon me, so I don't know how close it is, but I'm looking forward to scaring people, you know, I mean, into salvation, which is okay, according to Jude and a couple other places.
And Jesus, he's the one, isn't it? His most quoted verse was the one about hell, where the worm died, their worm died not, and the fire is not quenched.
Yeah, the fire is not quenched, yeah.
I think I heard someone say, or read somewhere, it might have even been Ruckman who said that was Jesus' favorite verse.
Yeah, well, believe it or not, out of, I looked up the word hell in the New Testament. It's in 21 verses. Christ quotes 17 of them. Mm-hmm. 17. So that's why he would say that was his favorite word, if you want to call it that one. All right, he spoke about it more than anyone else. So the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Seventh-day Adventists and all those other groups have no excuse. But they have the book. They have the book. 17 times out of 21, Christ is talking about hell.
You don't believe the book, that's the problem.
And the old-fashioned preachers, they were always called fire and brimstone and hell preachers. And that's escaped out of the vocabulary from this generation.
Well, starting with the 80s, the contemporary Christian music agenda included, among other things, telling you that Jesus just hung out with sinners, you know. Right. That. But another thing was, they said Jesus only preached on hell to the religious people. And that sounds like, oh, so to the lost. And one day it dawned on me, as a young Christian, I said, wait a minute, they were lost. They were. He did preach it to the religious people most of the time, but they were lost religious people.
Exactly.
He didn't preach on hell to save people. But when he preached it to the religious people, they were religious and lost.
Yeah.
So there was a false application made, and I mean almost every concert you go to and anytime you hear people get up and talk at contemporary Christian events, that, they would bring that up and they would say, you know, we need more love and less hellfire and brimstone, because Jesus, when he preached on hell, it was almost always to the religious people. And I wasn't there. I'd watch it on TV or whatever. Like, one day, they were lost.
Yeah.
Just because they're religious didn't mean anything. He was preaching to lost people.
Well, this one preacher's comment on that was that they were air conditioning hell.
Yeah.
It's not loving to not preach on the fire and brimstone part.
Yeah. And I like that, that one preacher was talking about backsliding to his church. And he said, I'm not too sure some of you haven't slid forward. Yeah, Doug.
I listened to one time back in about the 80s somewhere, they had Amy Grant was on a concert or whatever it was, and she was singing the song, Love Will Find a Way. What's love?
Exactly. I mean,
define it.
Yeah.
Is it, you know, is it in a prostitute house? Is it Jesus? What is it?
John 3:16 is how the Bible defines it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, she wasn't teaching that one.
Yeah.
Nope. I remember. Well, let's take a look at the first three verses of the first calling. That's all the time we'll have for notes here. But verses 1 to 3 is the call of personal inspection. So I'll read the odd, and I'll let you guys read the one even one there. So again, starting with verse 1 and just 1, 2, and 3. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged.
Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah their Mary, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him.
Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. That is the inspection. What are we going to inspect? Well, first and foremost, the call of inspection. The first word is hearken. That means to listen with the heart of God's imputed righteousness. He's telling the people there, look here, ye that follow after righteousness. So they're following after the Lord. And he's saying, hearken, listen. Listen with the righteousness that you've been given. Listen to it. For us, the righteousness of God is imputed. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 10, being Easter Resurrection Sunday. We can call it Resurrection Sunday. It might be a better off. Romans chapter 10. Verses 8 to 10. Can I volunteer to read that?
Where was this?
Romans 10, 8 to 10?
Romans chapter 8. Okay. No, chapter 10. Verses 8 to 10.
I got John.
You got it? Okay. Go ahead, please.
But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Amen. You notice there, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. The word of faith. What is the word of faith? It's the righteousness of God. The word of faith is the righteousness of God. And how does it come? From believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he rose again from the dead. And that's the verse that they used to share with me the gospel of Christ, and that's the verse I got saved with. Very special verse. Every time I read to that verse, I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, and thank you. I really appreciate it. That's the righteousness that is being talked about for us, and that is talking about the people here. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. There's a special blessing that comes with that group. Let's take a look at Proverbs 15:9. Proverbs 15:9. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. But he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. So if you take a look at this verse, those that are following after righteousness, what do they already have? They have a love from the Lord. The Lord's looking down here. He has a love for him. And he has a love for you and me when we pursue the righteousness of the Lord. He has a special love for him. And it says, ye that seek the Lord. We seek him in prayer. We seek him in our friends' lives. We seek him in our family. Lord, we need your help. We need your guidance. We need you. We're seeking him. We're seeking his help. And he says under here, look under the rock whence you're hewn. Well, here's a little bit of fun, guys, on that verse. Let's take a look at Exodus 17:6. He's telling him to look at the rock. The word hewn means to be carved out of. Look at the rock from which you come from. So let's take a look at Exodus chapter 17. And you're going to crack up, guys. Again, this is a picture of Calvary. You can't miss it. And here's the other thing that floored me. You're going to see the word rock is in here two times. This is the first two mentions of the word rock. We're going from Genesis 1:1, and this is the first time the word rock shows up. Wow. So So he's telling the people of Israel, look to the rock. So what rock does it have to be? This is where he's telling them, right here. Verse 6. Behold.
Wait, what chapter are we in?
Exodus 17.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mark.
Yeah.
Okay. 17.
6.
6. Okay, sorry.
And the person talking here is the Lord himself. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now guys, imagine this. Let's say this cabinet over here was a rock. The Lord's telling Moses, I want you to strike the rock, to smite it. And when we get into Isaiah 53, what are we going to find about Christ? He's smitten of God. Smitten of God. And the Lord's telling them, I'm going to be standing before that rock. So when you swing that rod, you're actually hitting God and then hitting the rock. That's a picture of Calvary. Smitten of God. That's what that's a picture of. And he says, out of the rock is going to flow what? Water. So we go in John chapter 7. What does Christ say when you believe on the Holy Spirit? Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Again, you can't beat the book, guys. It just, the pictures all connect. And the more you spend time in the book, the greater you'll see the pictures start connecting. And then you just can't get away from it. It's like it just, where are you going to run to? You don't want to run anywhere. Peter said, Lord, we don't want to go anywhere else. You have the words of life.
Amen.
And that's where we want to be at. But that's what that rock has to deal with. That's what it's found here in the text. So he says, look, for which he are human, remember what he did. And of course, why was Moses not allowed to go into the promised land? Because the second time, look for the same type of verse, he says, right before the rock, he says, I'm going to stand before the rock, and all you do is talk to it. Prayer. Just talk. Oh no, what does Moses do? Whack. Alright? And that would be another reason why people don't go in the promised land. Jenny.
So on the note of Moses going into the promised land and not being able to, do you think he could have prayed and God would have changed it? Because how many times did Moses pray and save, like, however many children of Israel there were? Like a million people.
Yeah. Well, the Lord made a statement. There are
times. Couldn't Aaron even have prayed for him?
No.
Nope.
You don't think it could have
worked? No, because where it went out was Moses didn't repent. God confirmed him and said, because you've done this, you're not going in the promised land.
Yeah.
So then God would have to be a liar and not do what he said. But Moses didn't repent. He was repentant after that. But even then he didn't say, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, Moses wasn't perfect, and that's a big example.
Exactly.
That's why Christians have been falsely taught that any sin you commit, God will forgive you, and he'll straighten everything up. And I'm like, no, that's not true. God will forgive you,
but you have consequences.
Yes,
well,
that too.
That's what I'm saying. But if you don't repent and confess your sins, you're not forgiven. And there's a whole group of people that teach that you don't even need to confess your sins.
And there's the one scripture verse they keep omitting, and that's the sin unto death.
Yes.
That's hard. I don't even recall. I've been saved close to 50 years. I don't recall any sermons.
No.
Not one. That ought to scare anyone to hear one sermon on that one. Mm-hmm. But it's just not taught, guys. Because why? Ecclesiastes 4:19, money answereth all things. Well, we don't want to offend people. Yeah, well, you'll be doing a lot of regretting when you get before.
What happens when you offend people?
I think of all the people I know now that's up in heaven. They're wishing right now they could pass out tracts. They're wishing right now they could go back and have the courage to talk to family members and talk to friends about the Lord. They wish they could go back and not skip all those church meetings that they skipped. They wish that they could have spent more time reading the Word and memorizing it. God, that we're going to be the same way if we don't, you know, diligent. Seeking the Lord. That's what this first verse says. Seeking after the righteousness of the Lord. This is a great book. And it's a call for inspection. And here it is on Resurrection Day. And we're called to inspect ourselves and ask the Lord's help and ask Him for guidance. Let's take a look again at Isaiah 51 here. And he says, and to the hole of the pit, whence you are digged. All right? The hole of the pit. That's not too hard to figure that one out. That's a reference to hell. I've got Isaiah 14, 15. And what does he say about Lucifer, who becomes Satan? He's going down, he's going to go down to the pit. He's going into the pit. And the Lord is telling these people that are that have the righteousness of God, remember the fact that you got saved. Remember the fact that you're not going to hell. Remember that. Keep in the right path of following me. And that's why it says, hearken to me. He's setting the guidelines. Aim for him. Verse 2. Look unto Abraham. So that's the second time he says the word look. Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. There is so much into there. Look unto Abraham, your father. Let's take a look real quick of Romans chapter 4, verses 20 to 25. Again, talking about Abraham, verse 20, Romans 4. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Remember, those who are going after righteousness, hearken unto me. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Alright? It was imputed also for the children of Israel. But look at the blessing down in verse 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, again, Resurrection Sunday, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Fascinating. Look unto Abraham. Then it says to look unto Sarah. We find Sarah in Hebrews chapter 11, 11. Let's, we have volunteer for Hebrews 11, 11.
Also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised.
Amen. Through faith, remember Sarah. The story of Sarah is found in
even though she laughed.
Genesis 17:19. Chapter 18, 9-15. And, you know, the miracle of that is she was too old to have kids. And Abraham was too old to have kids. And what was the promise? The Lord said, I'm going to return your bodies back to what it was so you can have kids. They had to have been the talk of the neighborhood. You know, Abraham, using that Grecian formula 44, so he looked young again. Nope, the Lord just made him totally young. Yeah. That has been fantastic, didn't he?
Hmm. You were talking the other day about Abraham and Sarah parting. That could be one reason she did part, other than the kid. You know, if she'd gone back to being
old again,
able to have a kid,
yeah,
and then like God didn't age her back, She's now beautiful, and she could go get an ancient man.
It doesn't say it changed her aging. That was what such a miracle. She was still the age that she was.
But would she have had the nice body where she could have a kid and felt
that
age?
That's what the miracle of it was. He used a dried up, shriveled old lady to bring a kid into the world. There's no reference in the Bible to her changing age.
Yeah. I guess she would have at least looked like she could. Maybe.
She would have looked like an old lady. That's what made it a miracle.
Interesting.
Less of a miracle than Jesus being born of a virgin.
But compared to that, yeah. Because in both cases it took a miracle to bring forth a child.
Amen. For most a miracle today.
I saw, I don't know if you got that idea, maybe implanted, but I saw that in a cartoon once where Sarah was old and gray and then suddenly she looked younger. Mm. And so I was like, wow, I never noticed that. I went in because it's not in the Bible.
Well, and verse 2 says, for I called him alone. Okay, when you study Abram, he was called. He was first called in Genesis 11:3. He was in the Ur of the Chaldees.
Time flies when we're having fun, but we're good.
He was called. And when he was called, his whole family went to Haran. We see in Genesis 12:1, they're now in Haran. He still has the whole family with them. So God calls them again, and the third calling is in Canaan. But he took Lot with them. And it wasn't until Abraham separated from Lot that God brought him salvation. He called him alone. And that is fascinating to check out. It says he also blessed him. That's in Genesis 17:1-27. And he increased him in Genesis 21:1-8. That's when he had Isaac. And then down to the last verse here. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. And he will make her wilderness like Eden. In other words, that Jerusalem was totally destroyed and he was going to put it back the way it was. And they came in. And her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Alright, the Lord was going to go ahead and restore everything back the way it was before with him at the center. Look unto me. And when he's at the center, then we have joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. That is how it works out. Because the Lord's desire is for us to be one with him. Look unto me. He wants us to be one with him. That fulfills the priestly prayer in John 17, verses 17-26. And then I'll leave you with one final verse as we close. Let's look at Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Since our Bible is King James 16:11, remember Psalm 16:11. This is a great verse that sums up everything that God is doing. 16, verse 11 out of Psalms. Thou wilt show me the path of life. He's going to take him from Babylon back to Jerusalem. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore.
Amen.
And that's the restoration that he was going to do in their life. And that's what he does in our life too.
Who's at his right hand?
That is the call to inspection. And when we follow the Lord, when we look to where we're carved out of, when we look to what he did for us at the cross, verse 3 is what he wants to do in our life. And it comes from following him. The only way to get what God has for you is by following him and following his righteousness. All right, Johnny, if you want to close this out with prayer.
Thank you, Lord. We thank you for all the ways you continue to bless us, in spite of how bad the world's getting. We thank you, Lord, for the message here, and we pray you'll bless the fellowship and the later teaching. And in Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen.
All right, see you guys in a bit. Happy Resurrection Sunday.